Joshua chapter 3.
Joshua chapter 3. And really, it's been a delight to be here with you, getting to know you. And we grow together like family, don't we? And that part of the family of God. Sounds just a little bit odd here, a little different. I don't know if it sounds any different to you. Maybe it's just in my head. And that's certainly possible. And I did this in Sunday school, but haven't since then, but I'm going to preach from my laptop tonight, so if that's all right, and otherwise the message is going to be a lot shorter. So Joshua chapter 3, and man, I've just had a great time being here. I tell you, you saw some of the beauty that we got to see today, but pictures just couldn't do it justice, and the hospitality of the church has been exceptional. And I'm not talking just about Pastor Turner, though he has been an exceptional host, and his hospitality has been second to none. But just your kindness, the fellowships afterwards, not forcing Brother Clint or myself to eat any of the balut. That's good, and I really appreciate that. Brother Gage, did you eat one? And none of us. So we appreciate that. You have not made that the litmus test of whether or not you have approved. I don't think you have, and it's not going to matter. We still weren't going to eat one. So, but just the good-natured ribbing and the friendly faces, the attentiveness, the coming out on weeknights. I mean, I know it's a midweek service tonight, so maybe you're a little more in the habit of tonight as opposed to the last couple nights, but it's just been a delight to be here. And I miss home. I love being at home. But you've done an excellent job of making this a home away from home for the week. And for that, I'm truly grateful. And I look forward to trying to challenge us and help us here the last night and to look at God's Word here together. And I want you to, why don't we do this? Why don't we stand for a moment? And we'll look at the first 8 verses here of Joshua chapter 3. Boy, I love the book of Joshua. And it's such a great book. And it says in verse 1, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." When it says the Jordan, do you know what the Jordan is? How many know what the Jordan is? The Jordan is a river, okay? And certainly Jordan is a place and so on, other things. But here we know this is the Jordan River. And they're getting ready to cross because they're going to go into the promised land to conquer. But they come and they lodge there and they have to stay there. And it says in verse 2, "And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host," that's the people, "and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests," the Levites, "bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." This is interesting. "Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." I'm glad when we don't know what we're doing, he does, right? What are you going to face tomorrow? I don't know. You haven't passed that way before. Well, you might be going to work, and you go to work every day, but that doesn't mean you've passed that day. And but God knows. God's out there. And he's got our future, doesn't he? Verse 5. "And Joshua said unto the people," I love this, "sanctify yourselves." Why? "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Now, the truth of the matter is, I don't know that Joshua knew exactly what the Lord was going to do the next day. We're going to see in a second what he did. But Joshua knew this. Tomorrow, God's going to do something. He's going to do something great. And we need to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart, make sure we're holy, because God wants to do something great. And he didn't know what God was going to do, but he knew God, the God who was going to do it. So he knew wonders were coming. Verse 6, "And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." Now, God just told him that. He told the people, man, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord's going to do wonders among you. And then God tells him what? So he didn't really know what was coming. But they're going to cross the Jordan. And much like we hear about the Red Sea when Moses was escaping, the Jordan River splits wide. And they're able to cross over. And God did a miracle. And I want to talk. Everyone, everyone wants the wonders. I want God to do wonders, don't you?
Yes.
Well, what do we got to do? What do we got to do? Well, we'll look at this passage. Let's pray. Father, would you use me tonight? Thank you for the privilege of being here. Father, you know that I love my church. I love my family and my friends at home and what you're doing there in Michigan. But Father, this has been a special blessing to come to some folks who are hungry for the word. I'm not worthy of that. But Father, your word is. Would you help me to make it clear tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, please be seated. I just assume if you are in a Baptist church, when the person is done praying, you sit. That's what you do. And I tell my people after we pray to sit because I like telling people to do something they're already doing. It makes me feel like I'm in charge. And if I ever really think I'm in charge, though, I just look to my wife to make sure that I am. And if my wife and I ever argue, it's rare, but if we ever argue, I always get the last words. Always. They're, yes, dear. And I'm very easily trained. Somebody said it this way. My wife and I, we have words with each other. I just don't get to use mine. And another man was telling his friend at work. He goes, man, when my wife gets mad, she gets historical. He said hysterical. He said, what? He said, you said your wife gets historical. You mean she gets hysterical. He goes, no, I mean she gets historical. She brings up everything I've ever done. And we laugh because that's a stereotype, but not true in my wife's case. And it's just fun to tease. But we're at the end of a week here. We're at the end of a missions conference week, if you will. And we've been able to see how the Lord has prepared Brother Tackett, his family. Even got to hear the kids sing. How special was that? I enjoyed getting to spend the last few days with the boys and Lily, and it's been great. And we see how the Lord wants to use them. And we get excited about that. And we see the Gilberts. Got to hear them sing as well. And enjoyed getting to know them and how the Lord's using them and hear a little bit of their backstory and how God's prepared them. And I bring that up because we think about, all right, God wants to do wonders. And we know that God is able to do wonders. And I want to be part of it. God has done wonders through this church. God has done wonders through my church. And I don't want God to do those without me getting in on it. And everybody wants the wonders. It's kind of like, my wife, she'll make from time to time, she'll make oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. Now, I wouldn't have told you oatmeal chocolate chip cookies are my favorite until my wife started making oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. And since it's oatmeal, that's almost like breakfast, right? So I get up in the morning, I'm getting ready to head out the door, and I see my wife had made oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. I'm like, I'm having oatmeal for breakfast. I grab 3 cookies, I'm on my way out the door. I'm a happy man. And it's oatmeal. How bad can it be? Don't tell me all the other stuff in it I'm not supposed to eat. I don't want to know that, okay? I just want to know that I want to get in on the oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. My daughter made some oatmeal chocolate chip cookies for her cousin. And they're in the same class, and they've grown up together, of course, and good buddies. And she asked him, well, what do you want for your birthday? And he said, honestly, some oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. So Lindy came home, and she made some oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. Man, the smell was in the house, and I'm walking in there. I'm like, oh, man. I reached for an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie, and I got the nasty look. All right? And the teenagers call it mean mugging, right? She was mean mugging me. I'm looking down, she's I'm like, what? She goes, I made those for Justin. I'm like, hang Justin. That's all right? And I care about Justin. Now we got some oatmeal chocolate chip cookies going on here. She said, Dad, those are for him. I went to bed unhappy that night. And she had them numbered, too. She counted the cookies. So if I could just send her to bed. I know where she sleeps, right? Go to bed. And when she goes to bed, I hear the door shut. I go get me an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie. I'm the dad. I know how it works. And but I didn't take one. I didn't, honestly. But we want the oatmeal chocolate chip cookies, but not everybody wants to go through the process, right? I want God to do wonders. But I don't always want to do what I need to do in order for God to do wonders in my life. I want the shortcut, right? And so we're going to look at this passage because one of the hardest things that we have to do is to wait. And there's a couple things I want to tell you about tonight in this passage. There's a couple terms I want to define, okay? The prize. What is the prize? Well, God's wonders. In Joshua's case, God magnifying Joshua. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. And amazing what God does. But there's also the other side, the price that we have to pay. So what do we do when we can't wait for God to do wonders, right? Okay, so if we partner as a church with the missionaries that are here, as you've done with many missionaries before. Man, all right, when are we gonna see some fruit in Greenland, right? Well, it's going to be a while. Brother Gage, when do you think you're realistically going to get to the field or head that way? Spring of 2021, okay. So that's after some time of some language training. Okay, that's right. And so it's going to take a little time for him to get some language. And when he gets there, man, we're going to have fruit right away. No, we're not. Now, that doesn't mean it's a time that's wasted by any stretch. My point is this. It just takes some time for God to do wonders. I remember feeling this way in high school. God, I want you to use me. Okay, go get some preparation. Yeah, but I want you to use me. And God does use us at that time. But we have to wait a little while. I had friends at college who could not wait for God to use them. Well, what a great desire that is. But for the ultimate use that he wanted to do with them, they had some training they had to finish. And I had some friends who left college. One of my, I wouldn't call him a friend. We weren't enemies by any stretch. I just didn't know him that well. I did for a month or so, and we became friends. But when he only was a couple months away from graduating. And he went and took a church. What a great thing. But he didn't graduate, and the church only kept him for 3 weeks. Walked into a catastrophe. Oh, man, he couldn't wait just a little bit longer. So here's what the message is. What do we do while we're waiting for God to do wonders through Brother Gilbert, through Brother Tackett, in our lives? What does the lady do while she is waiting, and you may never find out, this story, she apparently got to find out because it's based on true events, waiting for that man to respond to a gospel tract. What do we do in the meantime? Well, let's look at this story and see the answer, okay? And let's do what they did. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 1, they had to hold still. I have trouble holding still. You children in here, you can relate to me because you have trouble holding still. Some of you were on a missions video last night. You didn't even know it. Just the audio portion of it. And what pastor's trying to get you to quiet down there, just having a time down there, right? I wreaked havoc in our church when I was a little kid. My mom said, you got to stand next to your dad when church was over. And so I did. When I was all of 5 years old, I'd stand next to my dad. And you know what I realized about my dad? He didn't remember the next week that I was supposed to stand next to him. It was great. My parents, I'm not kidding. The Lord is my witness. These are true stories. When I was 5 years old, my parents left me at church. Like I was the last one there. It's the classic, mom thought dad had me. Why would my mother ever think my dad had me? My dad never, one time, had me. And I don't know why mom thought that. I'm like, dad did not know I existed. Now, don't misunderstand. He was a great dad. But when it came to giving me a ride back and forth, dad didn't know I existed. So mom thought dad had me. Dad assumed mom had me, rightfully so. And here I am at church by myself. I'm the only one in the church building. 5 years old. I climbed up on the desk, found the phone. You know, they used to have phones that would attach to the wall. You know, teenagers didn't know that. So I dialed to call my mom, and you know my mom's typical answer, okay, I'll be there in a little bit. What do you mean a little bit? I'm 5 years old. I'm by myself in this building. There are ghosts in here. And when I was 5 years old, they left me at home, and they all went to church. Church was quieter that night. I'm surprised they didn't notice it. But they left me at home, and mom did not come back and get me. She's like, okay, we'll be home after a while. What do you mean you're going to be home after a while? I'm 5. I can get into all kinds of trouble. I'm going to go play with a knife right now. What I'm trying to say is it's hard to stand still. It's hard to hold still. Look at the verse 1, okay? And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And the next morning they got up and went. No, that's not what it says. It came to pass after 3 days. And by the way, he didn't know how many days it was going to be. Joshua, how long are we going to stay here? I don't know. Are we there yet? All the kids were asking, right? Are we there yet? My kids, if they asked me that when we were traveling somewhere, I would say yes. Are we there yet? Yes. They'd look up and around. No, we're not. They quit asking. Right? And now, if you parents, if your kids do that, just show them the GPS, right? It says on the bottom when you're going to get there. Now my son says, Dad, can I see your phone? I show him. Okay. That's better than, are we there yet? Before I had the GPS, you know what I did with my girls? And when we were little, two things. This was awesome, okay? And I'll say this appropriately, but parents, you can appreciate this. One, especially when we had four daughters and no son, we had one of those little kitty potties, right? And we put kitty litter in it because they needed to stop all the time. So we had it in the back of the van. If they had to go potty, they went back to the little kid's potty with kitty litter in it. And it worked wonderfully. May I recommend something to you if you do that? When you get back from your family vacation, make sure you empty that. Because you do not want to find it the next summer. Right? Because it is not a pleasant surprise when you're like, whoa, okay? And that's exactly what happened. And but of course, all the girls like, I'm not using that. Before we got to, they all used it, right? And but anyway, the other thing is we put clothespins on the visor every 50 miles. And I'd put another one up. That meant 50 miles. Oh, when we got halfway there and we went another 50 miles, I took the first one down. So we're counting down to zero now. When they saw the first one go off, come down, they all woke each other up. Dad took one off. We're over halfway. Oh, it was great. Good time. So anyway, are we there yet? They're asking Joshua, how long are we going to be here? I don't know. May I tell you this? One of the hardest things about waiting for God to do the wonders is the waiting. God, when are you going to do something in my life? God says, hang on. God, you know the financial struggle I'm in, and I'm honoring you. I'm tithing like I ought to, out of obedience, out of love for you, out of recognition of anything that I have comes from you. When are you going to meet my financial needs? And God says, hold on. See, we would like it to work like this. Okay, Pastor, this tithe, I had somebody ask me a couple years ago, what's this tithe? Well, I'd be glad to tell you how to say it and what it is, right? Because I am a Baptist pastor, it's in my job description. And but I explained what the tithe was. So we'd like it to work like this. I put my tithe in. I go home. Oh, my bills got paid. Isn't that bad? But it doesn't always work like that. Will God take care of you? Yes. Will he do it on your time? No. Joshua, I'm going to do something with you. But what do you want me to do tonight, Lord? Wait. The next day. Oh, man, this is going to be good. What's going to be good? I'm not sure, but it's going to be good. When's it going to happen? It's going to be good. It is going to be good. And what are we going to do? It's going to be good. And, boy, you know, they did a test on people. I believe it was, if I remember correctly, John Maxwell. He's written many good, solid books on character and Christian principles to it. He's a saved man. And he said, if I remember the guy that I have right, I've read so many authors, but he went and got a stress test. He passed with flying colors all the stress tests except one time. They did all the tests on him to see where his stress levels were, and he was doing fine. Until they say, okay, wait, we'll be right back. And they quit giving him tests, and he had to sit in a room for about 10 minutes, and they left all the detectors, the sensors on connected to him. And he sat there for 10 minutes and didn't have anything to do. They said his stress levels went through the roof. Why? Because it's hard for us to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But that's one of the hardest things to do. Why? Because it takes faith. It takes trust in the Lord. Joshua, I want you to hold still. We can't control when the wonders come or what the wonders are, but we can control our holding still. And there are very few situations as stressful as when we have to wait. And I can imagine Joshua getting frustrated and saying, I don't know. And that's what the disciples had to do. The Lord's getting ready to ascend, and he told them when he's getting ready to ascend. They didn't know he was going to ascend, but he said, you need to tarry. Wait for the promise of the Father. They didn't know how long that would be. That's difficult. God often has us in a time of waiting before he comes through and does what he's going to do. What do we do in the meantime? Well, look at verse 2. It says, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So who told the people what was going to happen? The officers did. You know what they had to do? They had to listen to their leaders. So what else do we do? While we have to hold on, we have to humble ourselves. See, if God tells me to do something, I'm okay with it. If you tell me to do something, sometimes I have a problem with that. Why? Humility. Well, I'm not your pastor. No, that doesn't matter. When people tell us what to do, we often have a hard time with it. Why? Because it's okay if I see it right in God's word. Or if God speaks directly, right? But that's not what he does with us. He's spoken in his word. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for God to do something, we've got to humble ourselves. Man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with missionaries. And he's already doing it, and there's already fruit abounding to your account. I understand that with other missionaries. But in the meantime, what do you do? Well, humble yourself. What do you mean humble yourself? Pastor's already been telling you some of the things that would be a help to you. How well did you receive it? Or is it just a guy getting up and talking? You're like, yeah, he talks all the time. Truth of the matter is, I doubt you'd be here in the middle of the service, or in the middle of the week at an evening service, if you weren't willing to listen to your pastor. But what happens when, if pastor has somebody who's not even on staff, and he asks them to talk to you about something, do you want to listen? Well, we struggle often, you know why? Because we don't want somebody telling us what to do. But the officers, the leaders, not Joshua, and not the Lord, came through and said, okay, this is what we're going to do tomorrow, and the people had to listen. Did they want the wonders? Sure they did. But in the meantime, they had to humble themselves. And so what do I want to do in them? What do I have to do in the meantime when I'm waiting for God to do something great? Well, I have to work on my humility. God spoke through their authority figures. Now, this is a good way to do it, because the best of men are men at best. Brother Turner, as I have watched, has done an excellent job of instructing you and leading you, and praise the Lord for that. But we also know this. He's just a man. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying he shouldn't have any leadership. He's just a man. No. God uses men. But he is capable of not being the leader you should follow. We're capable of sin. They listened to their leaders, but their eyes were on the ark. In other words, if I am being an effective pastor, you know what I'm going to tell my church? Paul said this, follow me as I follow the Lord. But I'm trying to point my people past me, because I don't know how long I have on this earth. I don't know how long I'll have as the pastor of the Lewis Avenue Baptist Church, though I think it'll be the rest of my life. Why? Well, I don't know what my health will be. I don't control where the Lord puts me. The Lord may call me somewhere else. I can't imagine that he would. But I know this also. I'm capable of sin. And I want, if I were to fall into sin, I want my people to look past me to the Lord. Would it cause some to stumble? Sure it would. And I hope that to the best of my ability to stay humble before the Lord and not let that ever kind of, anything like that ever happen. But I also know I'm asking them to follow me, but I'm trying to transfer their following of me to the Lord. Right? And they humble themselves. What else do you do? Well, look at verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You know what else we have to do while we're waiting for God to do wonders? Heed what God says. This, you know what this is? This is obedience. Man, I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do with the missionaries. Man, it's going to be great. What do I do in the meantime? Well, hold still. Humble yourself. heed what he says. That means obey, listen to what he says. Where is that? They had to hold back 2,000 cubits. Why? I have no idea. Why not 1,500 cubits? Because he said. Why not 2,500 cubits? I can still see it because he said. Why do I have to stand back? Because he said. There are things the Lord has told me to do that he doesn't tell me why. But I know this, understanding is often the result of obedience. If I will obey him, he lets me see. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for God to do some wonders through this church, be willing to wait, hold still. Be willing to humble yourself and be willing to heed what he says. Obey the word in the meantime. And he said, you have not been this way before this time, heretofore. It doesn't matter if we don't know why. We just have to do what he said. God does not want us to rush him. And God does not want us to slow him down. God wants us to follow him. He said, watch, as the cloud moves, you move. When's the cloud going to move? Has it moved? Yeah, but when's it going to move? When you see it move, then follow the cloud. But I want God to tell me why. I want to be able to pick up my God phone and look at the God GPS, and it says, we're going to leave at this time tomorrow. Okay. And I look at the God phone, so to speak, and at the bottom, when I look for the time, God says, wait on the Lord. Okay. When you see me move, you move. Okay. In other words, he constantly wants me to keep my eyes on him, and when he moves, I move. But that's hard to do. So we heed what he says. He wants us to follow him. All right, what else can I do in the meantime? Look at verse 5. He said, and Joshua said unto the people, what's the next two words? Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Hallow yourselves. That's what that word means. When it says, hallowed be thy name in the model prayer, that is the verb form of holy. It's not a word, but it'd be like saying to holify yourself, all right? So hallow is holy. We need to sanctify ourselves. Okay, so in the meantime, while we're waiting for God to do works through this church, stay holy. Stay sanctified. Let God. We cannot live like the world and expect God to use us to reach the world. There has to be a holiness about us, and holiness is still a thing in 2019. God's serious about that. Sanctify yourselves. Why? Because God wants to do wonders among us, and he doesn't want to use filthy Christians to do it. Sanctify yourselves. Why? God wants to do something. And by the way, I've referenced this tonight. Does God want to do things through your pastor? Yes. Does God want to do things through these missionaries? Yes. Does God want to do things through the leaders in this church? Yes. But let me tell you something. God wants to do wonders in every single life in this building. It's not just that I'm only going to bless so-and-so. No, no, no. So what do I do in the meantime? Hold still. Humble yourselves. Heed to his word. Listen to what he says. And hallow yourselves. All right, Lord, do you want me to live holy? I'm willing to do that. Why? Because he wants to do wonders among us. We don't deserve it. But he's worthy of our best. And by the way, we don't live holy so that we can know him as our Lord and Savior. No, we bring him nothing. We bring him a sinful life. And we say, I am incapable of anything. I cannot get one step closer to heaven. But if I'll put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and nothing else, not my church, not my background, not a religion, not my works, then I get the perfect righteousness of Christ on my record. Boy, talk about starting out with a holy record, right? But sometimes we misunderstand that. And I like this too. That second word, the first one was sanctify. What was that second word? You know what that reminds us? Worry about you. I can't sanctify you. Now, I want to live in such a way that it makes it easier for those who know me to live holy. I certainly don't want to cause someone to stumble, but I know this. I like to go to church and I like to look around. Well, what about him? What about him? What about him? Preachers don't do that. You ever hear of Peter? Peter asked the Lord about John. Hey, What about him? You know what the Lord's word was? What is that to you? Follow thou me. You know what that's Jesus saying, hey, Peter, mind your own business. When I was a little kid, you know, we said, mind your beeswax, right? And we like to get our nose out there and everybody else's, but sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Man, that is great. This requires an honest evaluation, followed by a willingness to change. All right, and then look at verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priests. See, he's talking to some leaders here, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. They took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. By the way, Joshua didn't get any bigger. God can magnify us. If you look at something in a magnifying glass, it didn't get any bigger. But your perception of it did. God can magnify someone. And God chose to do that. But he told the priest, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk out. I want you to step in the water here. And the people are going to watch you. So what else do we do while we're waiting for God to do something great? Well, honor your leader's example. Boy, I could say this after being a few days here with Brother Ben. And again, I've known him since childhood, really. And I've gotten to see the Lord working through him even in the last few days. I enjoyed when he was talking about passing out tracts. You know why? Because I've seen the man passing out tracts. And I'm glad that I could tell you, listen, he's not perfect, and he's going to make his mistakes, and he's made of flesh. But you can follow your leader's example. And not just him, other leaders here. Follow their, honor their example. That's what he told the people. Listen, watch the priests, because the priests are going to set the example here. Honor your leader's example while you're waiting. We can't control the wonders, but we can control honoring our examples. How God uses the leaders, like your pastor, like Joshua, God spoke to him, and then he spoke to the people. I've pastored now for 11 and a half years, and I've lived with the pastor for 37 years. Dad pastored there. I didn't live with him all of those years. Some of those years I was already married, but I was around him. And I know this, there are people in the church that don't like to follow the pastor. They've even made statements like this, well, I went to Bible college. What they're saying is, yeah, I know this is what you're saying, but you're not the only one here that went to Bible college. May I tell you this? I don't know why he does, but God uses your pastor in a unique way. God intended for you to have one pastor. Now, there's others that are pastoral. I understand that. And some churches will have the pastor, assistant pastors, and so on. I get that. But God uses the pastor in a unique way. And as a pastor, I have to realize that is a heavy responsibility. Let me ask you this. At your home, who calls the shots? And some there's a fight between a husband and a wife. And that should, listen, fellas, you understand this. Your role as a husband is not to say, hey, this is the way it's going to be and you follow. I never one time heard my dad say to my mom, I'm the man around here. If you have to announce that, you probably have greater issues. But I know this. That's a heavy responsibility that God placed on my dad to lead the home. And it takes a pretty strong person to be willing to follow that. Was my dad stronger than my mom in the will? I don't know. It's not, there isn't, God doesn't not make a man superior to a woman or vice versa. He just gives us roles. And the reason I bring that up is because that's the way it is in a church. Ladies, those of you that are willing to follow a husband, and sometimes it's hard, ladies, I understand that. I've had men complain, my wife doesn't follow me. And I've asked them, would you? Well, don't make yourself so hard to follow and maybe she'll follow you, right? But there are some wives I've had come to me and say, my husband is a pushover. He won't ever stand up. And I've been quite frank with them. And I've said, you don't let him. Well, you know what a guy has done? Instead of having a life of turmoil, fighting with his wife all the time, he became that guy that just gets quiet because he doesn't want to fight. And so then a woman thinks, well, my husband won't lead. Well, it's because you're impossible to lead. Knock it off. The reason I bring that up is because in a church, you may come up with a way to do it. But God didn't call you to lead this church. Joshua, I don't like the way we're doing this. Joshua would say, I didn't pick me. God told me what to do. Yeah, but they're fallible. So is Joshua. Yeah, we're fallible. But God speaks to him in a way that he doesn't speak to anybody else in this church. And that's, my point was this. That is a heavy responsibility that he is going to stand before the Lord with one day. So what do? Pray for the man. Man, I've had to tell my staff so many times, man, I blew it. I wish I had that one back. I messed up. Pray for me. Why? Because I know I'm going to stand before the Lord. But they honor their leader's example. We're working on here. It gets good now, man. This is good. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. God says to Joshua, I'm going to use you, Joshua. You know what happens while we're waiting for the wonders and we do what we're supposed to do? We humble ourselves. We obey him. We submit to authority. We honor their example. We wait on the Lord's timing and we're getting ready. You know what happens? What I would tell you next? Hang on tight. Why? Because the Lord wants to do wonders among you, and he's ready to do it. You just have to follow him in his timing. And he said, Joshua, I'm going to magnify you. And you know what the people are going to realize? That there is a Joshua, just like there was a Moses. And Joshua didn't have to do it the exact same way that Moses did it. But God said, I'm going to do something, and I want your people to know, wait till you see what these wonders are. You better hang on tight. Why? Because God is going to do something. I wish I could fast forward 10 years and you could see the end from the beginning like God does. I can't see it, but I'm going to tell you this. There's going to be fruit that abounds to your account because you filled out one of these. And you said, man, I want to get in on this. And God used the money for these missionaries, for other missionaries to help this church stay open, for other missionaries to be taken on. And all of a sudden, we're going to have the reunion tour. When a missionary comes back and says, hey, and instead of Brother Gage showing you a video of what Greenland is like, he's going to show you the video of where he's at. And this man was reached. And he's going to say, maybe 10 years from now, he's going to say, this man was reached 7 years ago. This man was reached 5 years ago. What were you doing? You were in the middle of going to work. You were in the middle of sleeping. And those aren't bad things. I'm not trying to indicate those are bad things. I'm saying we don't know all the things that God's going to do, but I'm going to say when that happens, when we have missionaries come back and we get to hear the stories of what God is doing, it is awesome. It is incredible. But see, man, God did that. God used us to do that. How awesome is that? Philippians 4:19, Brother Turner's been preaching through Philippians. I was going to preach on that, but the Lord didn't give me liberty to that because he's just taught on that recently. But it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He will supply your needs. That comes to a bunch of people who took care of missionaries. May I tell you what you did this week, even if you're not aware of it? If you've given to missionaries, if you've just been friendly, if you've been part of this church, you have been taking care of missionaries. Been taking care of a missionary to Toledo, right? We say that, I don't know if you know our geography over there, Michigan and Ohio were in a war over Toledo. And Ohio lost, so we got Toledo. And Michigan won, so they got the Upper Peninsula, okay? And the lack of laughter indicates you do not know our local geography. That is okay, all right? Brother Turner appreciates it because he's from that area too. And then, this is kind of what we got to do today, Brother Ben. The next verse, look at verse 8. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Now, before I put the point up, let me explain this. Can you imagine what the priests are thinking? They come to Joshua. All right, what's next, chief? I want you to walk out there and I want you to stand in Jordan. Wait, you're done? Because it sounded like the connection didn't come through real well, right? I missed part of the transmission here. Say that again. I want you to go and I want you to stand in the Jordan. What? That's all I get. But here's what Joshua got to see, whether he knew it ahead of time. I think by this time maybe he knows, because remember, he got to see it before at the Red Sea. And all the others who were of age maybe to remember it, some of the kids might have remembered it, I don't know. They all died in the wilderness because of their lack of faith, except, of course, Caleb. But Joshua knows. You know what they're going to see tomorrow? You know what's going to happen? The priests are going to stand, and the priests I'm struggling here, Joshua. Just trust me. You stand here because Joshua knows. You know what's going to happen? I don't know if it happened all at once. I don't know if there was a great wind. I don't know what it was like, but the Jordan split. And they're crossing over on dry ground. Now, I've often wondered about this when the water's standing up. Is it like an aquarium? Like those neat aquariums, right? Are you walking up like next to it and there's a fish looking out? There's clumsy everything. So is there like the clumsy fish, right? He didn't know where the edge was. He's going, whoa! And he has to flop back into the water. I don't know. Is there somebody walking by going, hey, there's my attire. I wonder where that thing went. It was at the bottom of the Jordan River. I don't know. Guys that like to fish, are they throwing it into straight ahead in the water? I don't know what's going on, right? And I think I would stick my hand in the water to see what would happen, right? Come on, you got to live these Bible stories. Yeah, that's right. Right? Listen, he knew they were going to see something the next day like they had never seen before. So you know what this point is? This point is help yourself to a great view. You know what we got to do today? We're going around seeing these places, and man, that's unbelievable. I took some great pictures today, and I sent them to my family. We have a group chat, and they're Dad, that's beautiful. I love it. It's fantastic. And I said, man, I wish you were here, but I know you weren't. So if I send you pictures, it makes me feel closer to you. But those pictures can't do it justice. And what Joshua is saying is just, and I'm saying to you is, hang on, because you aren't ready for all that God wants to do through the people of Anchor Baptist Church. You can enjoy it, but you're not going to feel the same if you had absolutely nothing to do with it. Get in on it. What, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do? Pray about that. Ask the Lord to show you what you can do. And then just wait, man. You have no idea how the Lord is going to use some people here just outside of Vancouver. I can't wait to see it. I was able to have a small part in it being here the last few days. Joshua knew what these people were going to get to see. There's nothing like it. Help yourself to the view. And then the prize becomes present tense. All those things. See, we hear a story like this in the Bible and we're thinking, man, wouldn't it have been awesome to be there? And I believe that. It would have been so awesome to be here. But let me make sure you don't think that God did those things and doesn't still do those things. Now, we saw some water today. It was good. You're not going to walk out to that water and God is going to split it like he did then. But God can do miracles. And as Pastor was saying, he's done miracles even this week in people's lives. And that same God does not love Joshua more than he loves us. And the prize that they were, the wonders become present tense. Look at verse 9. This is the prize, man. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Mosquitobites. All right, I just threw that last one in there in case you were listening, all right? Verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over you before into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel and out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents, they saw, verse 16, the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on a heap. The end of verse 16, the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. God wants to do wonders through Anchor Baptist Church. Amen. Don't miss out. Get in on it. See, everyone wants that prize, but not everyone is willing to pay the price. What price? Well, sometimes it's hold still. Sometimes it's humble yourself. Sometimes it's heed what he says. Just keep doing what the Lord's told you to do in the meantime. Honor your leader's example. This is part of the price, because God wants to do wonders. Hallow yourself. Make sure you're living holy. And in God's timing, in the future, you are going to get to see some great things. Why? Well, because you got in on taking care of some missionaries. Well, you don't know how much I need the money. No, I don't. But I know this, when we get to eternity, all the things that we were going to spend our money on, they're not going anywhere. But you may look across the battlements of heaven and see somebody walk up. You think, I don't recognize them. And they say, thank you. Like, where do I know you from? Oh, you don't, but I'm from Greenland. And you gave to support a young couple going to Greenland. And because you did, they were able to tell me about Jesus. Whoa. Don't miss it.